The demographic change of the nation has seen a backlash of white supremacists. This is Don Rush. Salisbury University Emeritus Professor Michael Laughlin ponders how deep this backlash may go.
Ever since the January 6th insurrection, debate has continued over the question, what is the trajectory of the white supremacist or white nationalist movement so central to that violent uprising? Was January 6th an American Reichstag fire, revealing a growing militant movement taking us to a future fascist state? Or was January 6th a last gasp of reactionary white nationalism facing its impending demise as the country moves inexorably towards a majority-minority nation? Some recent polling bodes ill for our question. One survey measured 57% of white evangelicals holding the belief that the country would be best if most people were Christian, and 26% thought that violence would be necessary to protect the country. Exclusivity, privileging white people of the Christian faith, and legitimizing violence are hallmark dimensions of white supremacy. Close to home, Republican Glenn Youngkin won his Virginia governorship in part by appealing to white nationalist prejudices on race. Exit polls indicate that 35% of Youngkin voters identified their opposition to critical race theory as most important for their vote for Youngkin. 75% of his voters thought that Virginia is focusing too much on racism in public schools. Playing the race card continues to be a Republican electoral strategy, which exploits white fears of losing their majority status. Some court case results also are troubling. Take the case of Kyle Rittenhouse, the teen who killed two protesters in August of 2020 at an anti-racism protest in Kenosha, Wisconsin. The jury acquitted Rittenhouse of all charges on the basis of self-defense. This sets a dangerous precedent for white vigilante action, giving gun-toting white supremacists incentive to intimidate and commit violence. On the other hand, recent analysis of court records and FBI evidence suggests that the January 6th insurrection itself was more a spontaneous mob action than a highly organized operation, revealing a nationwide underground movement. While the rioters aimed to stop the certification of Biden's victory, only a small number organized beforehand. Most of the 650 defendants under prosecution had no association with an extremist group. As an FBI agent commented, most didn't have a plan to overthrow the government. They didn't know what they were doing. To be sure, committing violence against Capitol Police deserves prosecution, but organized stormtroopers, they are not. Two other high-profile court cases give us greater hope that our national character is moving towards embracing diversity and even social justice. A jury awarded plaintiffs $26 million in damages against alt-right individuals and organizations involved in the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville in 2017. The individuals and organizations involved will be hard-pressed to pay out these damages. As Richard Spencer, one alt-right leader, lamented, it is financially crippling. In like manner, a Georgia jury of one black and 11 white jurors convicted all three white defendants of the murder of Ahmaud Arbery, an unarmed black man who was simply jogging through a neighborhood before he was chased and shot and killed. Georgia's legislature also removed its racially biased citizens' arrest law, a legacy of the era of slave-capturing bounty hunters. Justice under Georgia law with a white jury was achieved, perhaps revealing that social progress in the South is taking place. Where does this leave us? No firm answer to our question can yet be found. Congress's forthcoming report on this January 6th insurrection will in time provide a more definitive picture of the nature of that event, but the social dynamics of white supremacy remain in play. This is Mike O'Loughlin.